This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Walker, and today I'm with David Gibson and Ryan Grace from Pleasant Automotive, and we're going to be talking about scaling your marketing as you grow your shop. But first, I want to take a second to thank our sponsors. This episode is sponsored by ShopBoss. Manage and grow your shop with top features like integrated payments from 360 Payments. Declined repairs don't have to be lost revenue. AppFuel's call center schedules follow-up calls and equips your team with everything they need to close the deal. Get started now at appfueled.com. All right. Well, hey, David and Ryan, how are y'all?
Good afternoon. Doing well. Hey, Brian.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. Just a fun fact for our listeners. Ryan and I worked together for years. He was one of the techs at my shop, one of the best techs that I've worked with. And that's not lip service. Like, this guy is an outstanding tech. And I'm sure that just by default, the relationship that you and David has tells me that he is one of those techs as well. And now y'all are in the place of really becoming owners and doing an outstanding job at that. What has that been like?
It's been very exciting. As you know, David and I just finished our first year in business. It's very hard to believe it's gone so fast. You know, we're like a lot of technicians that turn shop owners. We've seen how it's done at a nice shop. We know what we want our facility to have as well. And so we've really enjoyed the process. It's been very exciting. We're so glad to be here and continuing to grow our business.
And y'all are in Wake Forest, North Carolina. You are general repair, but you kind of have a specialty of Tesla, right?
We went after the Tesla market because the local, we'll call them dealerships or service centers, are absolutely awful. You can't communicate with a person only through an app. And say your car breaks, you're going to be stuck on the side of the road for at least 30 days because they can't look at it in time. They're pushing appointments way back.
Yeah. Didn't you tell me, Ryan, that they have like 50 bays and one technician or something like that?
Tesla just opened a new facility in High Point, and one of our vendors heard about us there. Somehow we're topic of conversation in High Point. But the word on the street was they had 40, 50 bays and one or two technicians.
It's crazy. And that's been a pretty good market for y'all so far, hasn't it?
It has been. The people like the personal touch. Be able to call and speak to either myself or Ryan, come in, see what's wrong with their car, as opposed to just getting messages on an app.
Today, we're going to be talking about scaling your marketing as you scale your business. Y'all, the two of y'all have done an amazing job of doing that. We've had the pleasure of working with a lot of shop owners, you know, basically from the time that they start their business. And I would say that y'all have done the best job of, you know, making sure that like your marketing is progressing at a fairly rapid pace to grow a strong business. And like you said, you just made your first year and y'all have had some great growth, great success in the business. It started out with just the two of y'all and y'all have hired an additional technician now, right?
That's correct.
That's awesome. So I remember when you first started out, you started basically with was it website only or website and SEO?
We had just the website initially that was being built, and then the SEO was going to follow. We were working somewhere else while we built Pleasant Automotive, so there were some things going on in the background.
Yeah, we started the website before we had an address.
Yes. Yeah, and I remember a call with our marketer, Brian, saying, hey, we're opening. And he said, yeah, that's in 2 weeks, right? And I said, yep. No pressure.
Yeah, y'all had quite the interesting time finding the right place, but you stuck it out and ended up finding a really great facility. That's awesome. So when you first started with the website and your marketing, what was the thought process and everything that y'all were doing? You know, what were your priorities and your goals from the early stages of your business and marketing?
Well, we knew that we needed to get a website, even a very limited one, to get on Google's radar, because we didn't want to try to build that on day one of opening the shop. We needed the customers to pay for our marketing, and having Google find us before opening day and having a live website was to making that work out for us.
That's the predicament that I think a lot of shop owners find themselves in. I know it was that way with myself. When I first opened my shop, I was doing it on a very limited budget. You know, I had to bootstrap that business. And I see some of the conversations that happen in the Facebook groups, and people are, you know, they'll ask, what's your number one piece of advice? I'm thinking about building this shop. And people are, you know, the responses that they get are like, oh, you need to have $100,000 in a bank account or whatever. And I'm thinking back to when I opened my shop, and I'm like, I had $6,000 and I knew I needed a website. And that's actually what got me into this business was, you know, I built my own websites in Microsoft Word when I first started out. But so it's very wise of y'all to know that you need that before you open, rather than waiting until you open to start that process. So you talk about the financial side. Were there any kind of preparations or anything special that you did in the beginning to make sure from a financial standpoint that this was going to be a success?
A lot of prayer, a lot of hoping. We've heard the podcast too. There's some people that love to talk about the money that you absolutely must have if you want to survive 2 weeks. We took that all advice and just threw it right out the window. And there's a certain amount of faith. You know, you have to look across the chasm and say, we're going to do this anyway, despite what your wife may say or other people. It's exciting, but we knew that we had to have a foundation that was going to be the road for further success. So things like the website, a prime domain name, I've heard someone say, you know, pleasantautomotive.com, we found out that was available. That was perfect. Let's have it. Let's get started on it. And we just wanted to make sure that we were getting ahead of any future problems. So we bought the domain name out for 10 years. We plan to be in business for 10 years. So all the little things that could be a pitfall, we've just tried to avoid. We've not done it before, so we've been extremely careful to avoid those unforeseen pitfalls.
You know, I've heard that the definition of an entrepreneur is someone who's willing to jump off a cliff and build an airplane on the way down.
Oh, I took that to heart.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I think it's great advice to have all that money in the bank, but I think that if every entrepreneur waited until they were in that financial position before starting that business, we would have very few businesses.
No businesses, yeah.
It's kind of like waiting to have a child till you're ready. You're not going to be ready.
Been a lot of people that say, you know, now we're doing very well, thankfully. And they say, you know, wish you'd done this 5-10 years ago. And you want to say yes, but I know that I did not know 10 years ago for sure, maybe 5 years ago. I didn't know all the bits and pieces that would make us a good team, bring it together, what we have, and complement it to make a successful team. So there's been a lot of faith and hope involved there. But we knew what we wanted to do, and Dave and I worked together very well, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know we talked about it for years before you did it, and it's easy, you know, for me or for somebody else to be like, do it, do it, do it, you know, when all the risk is on you. But the day that you said, it's time, we're doing it, I legitimately got excited for you because I knew that y'all would be great at it. As the business grew, you know, you started adding more services, just one thing at a time. You know, I normally found out from my team, you know, that, oh, Pleasant Automotive added, you know, Google Ads, for example. I'm curious, along the way as you were doing that, what was the impetus for you to say, okay, it's time for us to add this additional service?
We're humble enough to realize we don't know what we don't know. We leaned on other people in the industry, you know, your company and so forth, to guide us through that type of thing. We knew what we needed, but we didn't know how to execute those plans. So, you know, if you don't know, find somebody that does and ask them. That was really, I feel, the key to the success that we have had.
And then outside of like the services that, you know, we do for you, or even other companies that might be doing direct mail or something like that for you, do y'all do any kind of community involvement or anything like that?
You know, starting off, we were talking with the SCORE group, the Service Corps of Retired Executives, for their advice, you know, as young entrepreneurs, what should we do to get the word out? We tried everything, every avenue that we could, churches, schools, and things like that. But we knew we were going to have to get an advertising company that was on board, getting the word out there for us professionally, in a way that we couldn't do on our own.
Don't forget the Adopt a Highway program.
Yes, we adopted a highway. We're on Facebook here locally. In the town of Wake Forest, it's a town. It's growing by leaps and bounds, but it's still a town. It's still a community. So we're trying to be, you know, a neighbor. We're not here to make boat payments. We're here to make a relationship. And I want to work on my customers' kids' cars down the road.
So with that, the Adopt a Highway program, Has that been fruitful at all?
Well, I haven't had anybody come in and say we showed up because of your Adopt a Highway program, but it's about a mile and a half of Burlington Mill Road, which is a major road in here. One of the signs is directly in front of the middle school. And when you're waiting to take your kid to school in that long, long line that develops every morning, you're staring at that sign and it's got our name on it. Maybe people realize or, you know, recognize it. Maybe it sticks in their head.
I've talked about this many times on the podcast, but when we had our shop, Kim, she was always wanting to do things like that. And I had had it drilled in my head so much from the coaches that, you know, if you can't place an ROI on it, you don't do it. Always shied away from that kind of stuff. And when we ended up moving back to Louisiana and in our businesses here, she was able to convince me to start doing that kind of stuff. I'm so much a believer in it now. Like, you're never going to be able to append a return on investment to doing that kind of stuff. But, you know, call it karma, call it the law of reciprocity, goodwill, whatever you want. I just think that when you do things like that in your local community, it just comes back to you. So, love that. When you very first got started, you actually chose to go with another marketing company at first. What were they doing for you?
They were website and SEO, you know, Google AdWords and so forth.
And that was one where it just didn't work out in the beginning, right?
It did not. We tried to go with a more budget-friendly option, did not see the results. It was ultimately money wasted. It was quite a bit of money wasted, to be honest with you. You know, for example, we would jump on our monthly meetings with the marketing company, and it was like our representative of that company was just looking at our numbers the same time we were looking at them. During that call, it was the first time she paid any attention to it. And that was a little disheartening, you know, asking questions and not getting the answers that we needed.
And for our listeners, actually, I brought this up with Ryan and David before the podcast to ask if it was something that we could talk about. And just being honest, it's a little bit self-serving because, you know, it's one of our big competitors out there that they're big about saying that they do the exact same thing that we do, just for about half the price. We often find ourselves in a situation where we're talking to a prospective client and that prospective client is also talking to this other company, and they're very good at sales, you know, whereas we're very low pressure. We do our best to really show people this is what we do, this is how we're different and all that. But they're, you know, on the sales side, they're very good. And they're very good at convincing people that they're going to get the exact same thing just for half the price. And that's why I, you know, I wanted to ask you about it, because while we're here, I'd love to be able to point people when we're in that situation to this podcast and say, you know, go listen to that.
You get what you pay for. You honestly do. I've got a friend that's been in business for a long time and he's helped us navigate some things. And I was asking him about a marketing company and he said, find the most expensive one you can find and stick with them. So far, it's been great.
What we found was, you know, again, we were, all the businesses were ruled by our budget, but we were trying to find this marketing company that, in all appearances, was very nice. The package looked really good. But when the rubber met the road, the service wasn't there. So it's kind of like when we, as a professional, when you buy a tool, you want to buy a professional grade tool. You want to count on this tool. We bought an off-brand tool and the price was good. It did not serve us very well at all. And your marketing is not something that you can afford to play around with. It's got to be on point. And that's what we found was they were very nice. They're very friendly about it. The work didn't get done.
ShopBoss is software built by shop owners for shop owners. ShopBoss is the shop management software that works the way you need it to, so you can reach your biggest goals without slowing down. Help your techs fix cars faster with intuitive inspection tools that supercharge your operations and keep vehicles cycling through your base. Get into ShopBoss mode with an ROI dashboard that gives you critical information at a glance and updates in real time. And accelerate your payments with BossPay, powered by 360 Payments, by giving your customers more ways to pay. From text to pay, remote payments and consumer financing, to compliance, surcharging, and PayPal and Venmo mobile pay options. BossPay puts your customers in the driver's seat and keeps your business moving. Plus, their entire team is on deck to help you simplify your day-to-day, flag more hours, and generate more revenue. Other software makes you work, but ShopBoss works for you. Independent auto repair shops, get ready to transform your business with AppFueled. It's time for your professional auto service shop to have its own customer loyalty app. AppFueled will build an app that launches a custom loyalty program for your shop in 30 days or less, fully integrated with your point of sale system. Bring Fortune 500 level customer retention strategies to your business without the Fortune 500 budget. Many shops are enjoying the benefits. Our app engages your customers with a loyalty ladder, enticing them to climb the next rung, coming back more often and spending more each visit, all with your own app. Build loyalty with your customers, to your brand, and boost your shop's growth. Get your first app in 30 days or less, all without breaking the bank. Ready to start? Let AppFueled take your business to the next level. Go to appfueled.com or meet founder Jeremy Glasgow and book your complimentary app vision session at appfueled.com/Jeremy. That's appfueled.com/Jeremy. Okay. As you've scaled, I've watched you pretty hard as y'all have scaled. And I think that the way that I would describe your scaling, it's been fairly aggressive. And I love that. And I think that it has that mentality of being fairly aggressive in your scaling of your marketing as your business is growing has paid off well. I'm curious how you balanced the urge to go super fast with the pace of scaling, because even though you've been fairly aggressive, you've been very smart about it. Have you balanced that urge to go fast while at the same time being, you know, financially smart and it just being a sustainable way of growth?
You know, for every ad dollar we spend, we do see a return on, but we'll take things away that we see aren't working for us, like the direct mailers we were sending out. They brought customers in the shop and we did gain some good customers from it. But most of the time we were doing cheap oil changes for them. And they would wait till the next one came, and then they would bring their daughter's car in for the cheap oil change, and then their wife's car for the cheap oil change. So we realized that wasn't working for us. So we took the money that we were spending on the direct mailing marketing campaign and moved it over to, I believe it was the local service ads, the LSAs that we started. I think it was a wise move. It's all about budgeting and balance and keeping track of what's working and what's not working. We don't have a huge pile of money to work with, so we certainly need to pay attention to what we're doing with it. You know, Katie from your team has been great in leading us through that process and making suggestions that what can be changed, and she's really on top of it. We appreciate it.
You know, as you look back on the various types of marketing that you've done, is there any one thing that you can, like, it stands out and you can say that has been the best performing marketing that we've done?
I'd probably say it's the Google local search ads. Katie and the team brought us up to speed on those. It was a while ago. I want to say it was back in the spring, and our budget wasn't ready to support it, but she said, hey, you know, just in case, here's what it's going to take to be able to use those ads. And there's a process involved. So even though we weren't ready, she said, hey, here's what you want to do just to be ready for it. So we went ahead and took those steps, got certified and verified through Google. So we knew what options were on the table because you'd made us aware of them. And we were able to say, let's look and try the LSA versus the direct mail and see how that goes for us. So even though we weren't ready to jump on board, you guys said, hey, you might want to. And that gave us the time to spend getting prepared for Google's verification and to be ready to say, okay, let's try this new avenue.
So when you did that, did you find that they performed like from the beginning, or were they a little hit or miss in the beginning and they just kind of got better as they went?
They were a mixed bag right out of the gate, but the LSA ads, those people are calling looking for work. They're ready to get it done. They're buyers. So we tried to treat all of those as a ready to go customer. But I would say you have to kind of find your way, navigate so that it starts to find you in the right direction. You don't get calls for the wrong services. And that's a process. But I think David and I are both very happy with the process so far.
Yeah. I love asking about LSA in particular, because we get such mixed results or mixed feelings, I would say, from our clients about them. We have clients that absolutely love it and they're killing it with LSA. And then we have clients that are like, it's just a bunch of price shoppers. I'm personally convinced that the ones who have success with it, it is that they're much better on the phone. Like they have much better phone skills than the ones who don't. But as much as I'm convinced of that, I know some of the ones that have not had great problems with it, that my perception is that they run a really strong business, a great shop. Now, in your case, I've visited your shop and I've been standing next to you while you were on the phone and know just how good y'all are about, you know, just I mean, I heard you, the tone of voice that you have with the client, how, you know, no pun, how pleasant you are on the phone. And then also like asking for the appointment and such as that. Is that something that, you know, has just kind of come natural to you, or did you have any kind of training or anything for those phone skills?
Ryan is just the most naturally friendly guy in the world. As soon as you meet him, you know, you want to hang out with him. He can make a friend with anybody. It's not really an act with him. He just gets on the phone and talks to people, tries to make them feel comfortable. Yeah, they end up coming in. He doesn't sell them anything. His biggest line is, hey, let's not jump to conclusions. Maybe it's just a loose bolt, or maybe it's something simple. Let's get it in here and figure out what's going on before you lose some sleep. And he constantly impresses me with his people skills. Much better than mine.
I love it when you're on the phone too, David. I'm like, oh, David's on the phone. Everything is fine. It's going to be great. But people are calling you and they have a problem. We're in an industry where everybody brings their problems straight to us, to our front door. And so when they call, they've got a concern. There's, you know, they're worried. My car's broken. My kid's on the side of the road. What are we going to do? So we're in the business of helping. And part of that is being helpful. And if you can take some stress off of somebody's mind by saying, you know, don't worry about it right now. Let's find out what it is. And we love to share good news on a Friday afternoon. If we've got a car, they're, you know, it's a big job. They don't know what's going on. If we make a discovery that's good news and I can give that to them at 4:59 and they can enjoy the weekend a little bit better, we're going to try to get that news across to them.
Yeah, that's great. All right. So for shops that, you know, they might be real early on in their business. And I know y'all, I mean, you're only a year, right? And just a little over a year. So y'all are still early yourself. But, you know, those shops that are anywhere from brand new to where you're at now, and they're looking to grow, you know, from a strictly a marketing standpoint, what's the advice that you would have for them?
Get that website online. Get that website, even if it's just an initial landing page. It helps Google figure out who you are. Those organic searches are crucial. And then find the most expensive marketing company you can find and stick with them. It's honest to God's truth.
A question that's sort of related, but not really related to this. I'm just curious. How much have y'all been hearing from people that they are finding you on places like ChatGPT, for example?
We're on Reddit a little bit. Some people are talking about us. There's chatter out there. And I've done some, you know, outward looking in searches to try to find out we're mentioned on the web. I know it's coming. AI is in the news right now. And actually, David mentioned one of our partners has been using Grok for, was it over a year now, David? And he uses it for technical information. And we as technicians have spent countless hours poring over articles, looking for information, and AI will get it. And it's surprisingly accurate. So it's coming.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You got to check it though.
Yeah. It's funny that your first response was that you're on Reddit, because we know that one of the top things that AI is using when they are recommending businesses or just answers to anything in general, they're using Reddit and Quora. And it's because the content, you know, it's user-generated content that's upvoted. So they can look at the content that's most highly voted and make a decision that, okay, this is good, accurate information. And I love it. All right. So what's next for Pleasant Automotive?
The customers really enjoy the very small shop, the intimate speakeasy feel that we have here. Your car doesn't disappear behind the back of the building. You don't see who's working on your car. They feel like it's their little secret that they want to share with their friends. So maybe a couple more like locations in the not immediate area, but in some of the surrounding towns that mirrors what we're doing here. Ultimately, that's what I'd like to see. Not necessarily a 10 to 20 bay shop, but maybe three bay shops. And it just helps with relationships. They see the same people when they come in, and they're comfortable with us.
I've never in my life heard someone describe their shop as a speakeasy. And I think that that is the best way to describe what it is that you've built there. Because you're not like right out there on that main road for people to see.
Not at all. You got to have a code to get in the gate to get to our facility.
It's invitation only.
You're like the best kept secret. And
but we're showing up everywhere.
We're trying with the marketing to not make it a secret at all. So
I love telling people, hey, we're in a gated community. Here's how to get here. And they do a double take until they show up. People come in the shop, you know, it's an unassuming building, but they walk in and we're pleasant and welcoming. And hey, thanks for coming in. And they look around and they're kind of blown away. It's different. It is, like you said before, concierge auto service. It doesn't look fancy, but it's Ritz-Carlton service all the way.
Yeah. Guys, I really appreciate y'all being on today. This has been great. You know, Ryan, is any time that I think about you, I start thinking about the W140 Mercedes that you and I worked on with the torque sensor on the side of the transmission.
Oh my gosh.
Do you remember?
I remember going down 64 in that car, and the wheels were about as round as a stop sign. So the dashboard in this S-Class is hitting both sides of the doors as we're going down the road. So Dave and I talk about that as join us on a journey of discovery as we find out what's going on with this car. And some journeys of discovery are longer than others.
And then every once in a while, Ryan will send me a picture of me sitting in a blue Volkswagen Beetle with a boa around my neck. And anyway,
I owe that to your team. I've promised that to your team many times. I've got to make good on that.
Anyway, guys, I really appreciate it. This has been great for our listeners. You know, thanks for listening. Remember, we are just one of a handful of podcasts on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find the others at aftermarketradionetwork.com. Thank you to our sponsors. Hope you'll listen in again next week. And until then, remember, in everything that you do, be a pro.
You've been listening to the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Kim and Brian Walker. Follow the podcast on your favorite listening app. Find their emails in the show notes and visit them at shopmarketingpros.com. Let Kim and Brian know what you want discussed, because they're all about advancing the aftermarket.